Good Monday morning. I'm Anna Palmer, and welcome to your Politico Playbook audio briefing, sponsored by Chevron.
And I'm Jake Sherman. If you play golf, this is a foursome you probably want to be a part of. Barack Obama was spotted playing golf yesterday in Dallas with Steph Curry of the Golden State Warriors, golfer Jordan Spieth, and Under Armour CEO Kevin Plank. Curry and Spieth are two of the highest profile athletes sponsored by Under Armour. Obama headed to Dallas after raising money in College Station, Texas for the spate of hurricanes that hit the U.S. this fall.
Our colleague Rachel Bade has the scoop on Trump and Vice President Mike Pence calling into yesterday's House GOP conference call. Trump told House Republicans it's time to get to work on tax reform and to pass the Senate budget immediately or face a bloodbath in 2018. Trump also predicted the tax package would get some support from Democrats, but he promised the group he's ultimately on their team. "I'm a Republican inside, out, and backwards," Trump said, according to one person on the call. Read between the lines here. Yes, this could help save a week or so in the tax reform process. But no, it doesn't mean that tax reform, writing, and passing a rewrite of the tax code will be an easy process.
Jonathan Swan of Axios is reporting that Republicans are, quote, currently exploring not cutting the income tax rate for people who earn more than $1 million a year. Some Republicans tell us it's possible the tax rate could actually go up from 39.6% to 40% for top earners. The benefit, Republicans say, it would strip Democrats of a talking point. And it would help with revenue. The downside, Republicans would be raising taxes. We doubt it will happen, but it does give a sense where the debate is. Arizona Senator John McCain seemed to once again take on President Trump. Last night on C-SPAN, McCain said about the Vietnam draft, quote, "The highest income level found a doctor that would say that they had a bone spur. That is wrong." Meanwhile, Burgess Everett and Josh Dossie have a look at how McCain ally Lindsey Graham, who has had his own choice words about the president in the past, is now buddying up to Trump.
Elena Scheider has an important look at Democrats' early money haul and how they are reporting historic early fundraising totals, alarming GOP strategists, and raising the prospect that 2018 could be the most expansive House battlefield in years. Scheider calculated that at least 162 Democratic candidates in 82 GOP-held districts have raised over $100,000 so far this year. That's about four times as many candidates as House Democrats had at this point before the 2016 or 2014 elections, and it's more than twice as many as Republicans had running at this point 8 years ago, on the eve of capturing the House in the 2010 wave election.
Defense One has a piece up about how the U.S. Air Force is preparing to put nuclear-armed bombers back on 24-hour alert, a status that hasn't been in place since the Cold War ended in 1991. That seems quite significant. Meanwhile, the AP's Andy Taylor writes that the Senate is pressing ahead with a $36.5 billion relief package that would give Puerto Rico much-needed cash. It would also replenish emergency disaster accounts and provide $16 billion for the federal flood insurance program. The New York Times has a piece up about how storm victims in Texas and Florida are still waiting on FEMA.
NBC is out with big news on K Street. Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller and his team are now investigating Democratic lobbyist Tony Podesta. NBC reports that the investigation began as a fact-finding mission related to work the firm did with Paul Manafort, but it has now morphed into a criminal inquiry into whether the firm violated the Foreign Agents Registration Act. The New Yorker has a piece up on the family and company behind OxyContin. Patrick Redden Keefe writes that since 1999, 200,000 Americans have died from overdoses related to the drug and other prescription drugs. The Sackler family, who owns Purdue Pharma, developed the drug.
USA Today's Eliza Collins has a piece this morning about how Steve Bannon's return to Breitbart News has blurred the lines between the news company and his political operation. When Michael Grimm, the ex-con New York congressman, came looking for Bannon's support, Matt Boyle of Breitbart sat in on the meeting. Reuters is up with a look at how 88% of Trump's administration appointees were non-Hispanic whites, and 62% were men. By comparison, in the final year of Barack Obama's Democratic administration, non-Hispanic whites made up 67% of that group, and men accounted for 47%, closer to what the U.S. population looks like.
Alex Eisenstadt has a scoop on a Trump-aligned super PAC, America First Action, holding a fundraising meeting in Texas Tuesday. And in the juice, we've got a first in playbook with Max Rose, a Democrat who's running against Dan Donovan and Michael Grimm in the 11th District of New York. He's going up with a new campaign announcement video directed by Jim Margolis and Anson Kay of GMMB. Rose is the first veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan to run for office in New York City and received the Bronze Star and Purple Heart for his service in Afghanistan. The video includes footage from his time over there. Here's why you should care. Sure, the district is held by a Republican, and the shiny object at the moment is the Republican-on-Republican primary between Grimm and Donovan. But the district is only an R+3, meaning it votes for Republicans by an average of 3 points. Also, here's a trend alert. It's another example of Democrats running veterans and touting their experience at war. Subscribe to Playbook at politico.com/playbook.